Chapter 10, Catching a Break.
It's been so long, Naumasa laughed, in that simple, masculine way he had, honest and pleased. I was afraid you'd forgotten that your paperwork doesn't magically do itself.
Naumasa-kun, Toshinori scolded in low tones, mortified.
Immediately the officer put up his hands, knowing full well how thin the line was and how little teasing his ironically superpowered friend could take. The younger man snickered, taking another gulp of his beer. It was nice to be known. Toshinori went back to stirring the curry pot, an indulgent smile lighting his gaunt face to some approximation of heartiness, if not health.
All right, I know, you're busy.
With that, Naumasa hopped up on the narrow, spotless counter beside him, an incredible bit of scalawaggery for the straight-laced man. It showed how comfortable they were with one another, but also how glad his friend was to see him. Again, Toshinori grinned to himself, awash in the gratefulness for the simple sights and smells and memories layered into the officer's small, humble apartment. It was more than a safe space, and he had almost forgotten that he could miss things like this, was allowed to miss things or have them again. Why had he put this off?
So, his friend began thickly, through a poorly timed mouthful of beer, and Toshinori could clearly smell the skunk of the dark drink Naumasa preferred. He tried not to wrinkle his nose.
How's the teaching job going?
Toshinori's grin fell. That was why.
Naumasa's tone said everything, stilted and reluctant, his gaze pinned decidedly elsewhere. The last conversation they'd had about this hadn't been pleasant, which was probably another reason why the veteran hero had taken till so late in the semester to visit his friend properly, hospital visits excluded. He still needed to see Gran Torino, for that matter. Toshinori winced.
Well, it's, not easy. There's a lot to remember, and sometimes it feels like I'm the student.
The older hero murmured, blowing his scraggly bangs away from his face before resolutely tucking them behind his ears, lest they fall into the food. Then, mildly, you still don't think it's a good idea.
It's a bold move, having All Might teach at a hero academy. UA especially. I worry about the negative attention that you could attract, both for you and the students.
Naumasa inclined his closely trimmed head, finger jutting out from his hold on his beer bottle. He swallowed audibly.
I know you do too. I always worry, Toshinori said simply.
You do, Naumasa sighed, tapping the bottle on his knee, a half-smile lingering. It was a wistful sort of expression. Automatic. It came from seeing too much, even in the years since All for One's fall. But they had trust in one another to respond to what was yet to come. The two men sat in comfortable silence in the tiny kitchen nook in the midtown apartment, Toshinori stirring and seasoning by smell and sipping warm water. After a while, Naumasa leaned over the pot and breathed in greedily.
That smells amazing. See, here I was teaching you about cooking all those years ago, and now I bet I could learn a thing or two from you about curry.
Naumasa said confidently. Toshinori shook his head, bangs waggling free again. He'd just had time to practice, and it was a pity he couldn't eat more of it.
Cooking, my friend, or just rice? Toshinori asked, with the utmost of innocence, not taking his eyes from the pot or his slow, meditative stir. Occasionally, he had been known to tease back, but only when he had the energy.
It's an art form, Naumasa protested, scandalized. He grabbed a spoon and raised it like a baton.
Let's put your work to the test then, Yagi-sensei. I'll be grading your efforts, I'll have you know.
They sat at his low table shortly after, and Naumasa dug in, being ridiculous with how much he enjoyed it, exclaiming, sighing, praising it as the first meal he hadn't had out of a styrofoam cup all week. Toshinori accepted the praise with difficulty, knowing the good-natured man would press the issue otherwise, and then steepled his hands humbly. "If you don't mind, I'd, like to take that container back with me." "Ah, so much. It's almost half. That was supposed to be my whole week," the younger man fretted, then grinned to show he was only joking. "Of course, my friend. But it doesn't seem like you're fair. Are you taking it for someone special?" Midway to another sip, Toshinori almost dropped his glass. "With a quirk like yours, you can't just say things like that," Toshinori forced out, his throat uncommonly tight. "It's irresponsible."
"You specifically didn't answer my question," Naomasa exclaimed, grin tugging at his mouth. His big, blunt fingers tapped at his chin. "An interesting piece of evidence. This might merit further investigation."
"Naomasa-kun,
you're bright pink," he said, indulgently pointing. "You scoundrel, who is it?"
Toshinori covered his mouth and shook his head, fuming. While you couldn't lie in response to an open question, he also didn't want to take any chances. Naomasa frowned, leaning forward and tapping his spoon aggressively on the table.
"Ah, come on, my friend. Is your new life really so secret? If I were surreptitiously giving curry to someone, wouldn't you want to know?"
"Because I would want to warn them, yes," he said blithely, still hiding behind his hand.
Naomasa's skill with soup-based foods, or most foods, was non-existent. There was a reason his contributions to their late nights were always takeout.
"Ouch, Delaware smash,"
Naomasa admitted, graciously taking the hit and signaling it by dipping his head. Then he looked up, cheek in hand, poking at the last of his curry and rice.
"But really, I'm not prying for the sake of it. Are you making some connections on campus?"
How to answer? Toshinori chewed his lip.
"Yes, everyone has been wonderfully supportive. It's even a little intimidating, seeing how close-knit they are. But they've done their best to include me. Awkward as it often is," he swallowed down. Dealing with the staff at large meant dealing with the line between Yagi Toshinori and All Might, and that was never wholly comfortable.
"It's an amazing community, solely dedicated to the nurturing and development of young heroes," he continued. "I'm lucky to have a place there."
"That's nice and vague. They should get you to write their promotional material," his friend exclaimed, perfectly enthusiastic. Toshinori thinned his lips, familiar with Naomasa's particular way of disagreeing, and thus thoroughly caught out.
He relented, reasoning that his closest friend probably deserved a more personal take on his new academic career.
"Probably."
He still hesitated. Why was he hesitating? Shit!
"I suppose I have a friend. A co-worker. He..."
The veteran hero cleared his throat messily, almost assuredly not sticking on that pesky pronoun.
"Really. He likes spicy food, and we're friendly, so..."
He gestured to the container of curry that was certainly not for him. Naomasa nodded, eyes bright. The calm, cautious look of a very clever man getting a lead, which Toshinori was not at all comfortable with.
What's he like?"
What a question. A polite, inane question, but what mattered was how his insides jumped a bit, pleasantly electrified. Toshinori liked to believe that he didn't smile immediately and blocked the not smile with a pensive sip of water.
"He's a teacher as well. He's a bit odd."
"Par for the course for you, eh? Present company included," Naomasa joked. "Is it a name I would know?"
Toshinori shook his head. "He hates publicity, the media. He's a very private person, honestly." Toshinori was pushing his untouched chopsticks around, frowning somewhat. Across from him, Naomasa tapped the dinnerware with his own chopsticks, and All Might started at the sharp noise, laughing weakly.
I guess you could say he's teaching me a few things about that.
Then he and I agree, he said shortly, brows high. He always said All Might needed to stay out of the limelight. Now Toshinori could see why. A little. Only now, though. It was difficult not to be that, for everyone. The shining light, the symbol of peace, to just exist for himself was an entirely new kind of challenge. But he was getting help and getting a handle on it. Extremely talented help. He's teaching a student, Toshinori said after a moment, staring down at his hands.
I would hope so,
Naomasa said uncertainly. When Toshinori looked up, his friend was regarding him with clear confusion.
Oh, I mean,
Toshinori stuttered, putting his face in his palm. Oh my, shit.
What I mean is he's a homeroom instructor and he's currently taken on an extra assignment in addition to his class. He's training a child in the UA General Studies course that no one had really given much thought to. One with a rather problematic quirk. Being private, it's not like him to take on the role of a mentor, and perhaps the situation hits a little close to home, considering his own quirk. But he's so exceptional. The man, not the student. Though, maybe both? Shit, just...
Toshinori was very aware of Naomasa staring at him, and had no memory of flustering for this long in such a straight sequence. His friend looked similarly amazed and a little concerned, shaking his head. Toshinori forcibly brought himself back from his rambling and cleared his throat, which tumbled into a short coughing fit.
He's just busy, and I would like to help him. And well, curry helps.
He finished with a shrug. Sure, he was bright red or stupid or both. But suddenly Naomasa wasn't paying enough attention to notice his next set of tells. He was thinking, staring down at his empty plate.
Wait, if he's so unknown, was this the one you were telling me about? The one who was involved with the Triumvirate takedown?
Toshinori leaned back and averted his eyes, abruptly motionless, as if it would give him more time to think. It was a touchy thing. He was still unsure if he should have said anything in the first place about Aizawa and the Triumvirate. He had been so unthinkingly amazed, proud, awed. Maybe awed was the right word. To find out that Aizawa's work and bravery had been the linchpin to that particular case, that he practically ran to tell Naomasa. But now, especially after he and his co-worker had spoken more, and Aizawa had confided in him to such a degree, Toshinori wasn't sure his time undercover was a proper subject for discussion. The knowledge of the hell that came after it made it less appealing, more like the bloody dissection of a helpless living creature than a simple crime story. He couldn't not be affected by it.
I believe so, he said quietly when he had to speak.
He was all too conscious of Naomasa's quirk, which he knew was involuntary.
Come on, then.
The response wasn't what he was expecting, to be sure. Toshinori looked after the young officer, agog, as Naomasa fumbled to his feet and fetched his chunky old laptop and joined him on his side of the table, with a relish, yammering excitedly. I was just a field officer back then, but a year or two ago they told me one of the busts I was in on had to do with the Triumvirate case. I downloaded the reports of that day, but never really got the chance to look them over. Now, I know that was a pretty sprawling operation with multiple moles, but let's see if your guy is among them.
Naomasa-kun, I'm not sure if...
he began, but then the screen flashed and Toshinori found himself quiet and complicit, lip tucked nervously under his teeth as his younger friend rummaged around in the minimalist menus of his standard-issue police laptop. Part of the allure of being around Naomasa was that Toshinori didn't have to be the savior of the world. He didn't have to be on. When he didn't have to be All Might, his flaws came out. And today, one of those flaws was indecent curiosity. Naomasa pulled up the reports and went to the mugshots, and Toshinori silently settled in beside him, entranced against his better judgment, as now Masa chattered, giving him backstory on the bust and what had led to it, and what his part had been in it all. The lure of seeing Aizawa in this part of his life, or maybe more selfishly, seeing if he could recognize the other man in his gangster guise after seeing more deeply into him, was irresistible. He just couldn't say no, and he wasn't used to that. In a world where those shaped by less attractive quirks were often driven towards a life of crime, deciphering between mugshots was easy when it was tentacles versus scales versus multiple eyes. But it still took Toshinori a moment to reach out after Naomasa clicked past a particular photograph. "Wait, go back," he blurted out, eyes wide. Naomasa obliged and sat back as the older hero leaned forward, a hand to his chin. "Oh, my. You think this is him?" There was something odd in Naomasa's tone. Hard surprise or even displeasure. Toshinori nodded. There was no other way. It was a standard mugshot, and the height put the convict at 6 feet on the dot. Paler than Toshinori had ever seen him. Lip curled ever so slightly. Aizawa, or whatever name he had gone under at that time, glared at the camera with ghastly purple dents under his eyes. His head was shaved clean down to the skin, with two lines cut through his right brow. It was a shocking look, but there was no mistaking that sharp jawline and those dark, merciless eyes. The skin under his right eye was clean and clear, and there was a cigarette hanging from his lips, a grimy 5 o'clock shadow darkening his jaw. It was him. "I take it you remember that night?" Toshinori asked hesitantly, when he found his voice, sensing Naomasa's hesitation and tearing himself away from the stunning and disquieting photo. His heart was pounding, and he didn't know why. "Well enough," Naomasa huffed, tapping the battered screen. "When half the bus is physical quirk villains, you notice a normal form. This guy nearly broke my buddy's nose for trying to take his sunglasses off for the mugshot." "He must have really gotten into character," was all Toshinori could come up with, fighting his own surprise to give a kind of apology for his now friend's behavior. It was too much to process all at once, but now Masa just nodded. "Yeah, you have to, if you were running with these guys. It was probably the only way to stay alive," he admitted, tilting his head to study the mugshot with clear distaste. "Definitely a Yakuza-looking guy. I wouldn't cross the street to say hello. Call me old-fashioned, but I can't imagine him teaching class." "Oh, no. He has hair now. A lot of it. He must have shaved for his quirk," Toshinori realized, wincing out of a little more than the absolute abruptness of his epiphany. Now Masa raised an eyebrow. All of it unfolded in Toshinori's mind. The perfect sense of it. The brutal and minimalist utilitarianism that so defined Aizawa Shota. The veteran hero put out his hands and gestured, thinking just as quickly as he spoke and fumbling a little with excitement and agitation. His hair, floats when he uses his quirk, so he must have shaved it all off to hide the tell, as well as insisted on sunglasses to hide his eyes, which also change upon activation. That way he could just sell his secondary quirk as his only one and people would never know when he was erasing them. The revelation blew Toshinori's mind. It was literally the perfect ploy to sweep people's feet out from under them. The ultimate subterfuge, and the way of taking violence away instead of adding to it. At the perfect time, the peak of violence, all Aizawa had to do was use his quirk and instantaneously save lives in a completely untraceable way. Genius. Twofolds. People with stacked quirks make the best undercover agents for just that reason, Naomasa said wisely, looking over the photo with new appreciation. His previous distaste was gone, replaced with a handsome half-smile. Well, I'm grateful to him. That can't have been an easy job, being around those villains for so long. And the result changed the way we prosecute villainy as a whole. He's quite the hero in my book. Toshinori nodded. Still awash in it all.
Aizawa letting his hair grow out after his undercover role may have just begun as negligence. But now, with the reverence paid to it, the inclusion in his relationship with Nemuri, it was clear it had become a symbol of his recovery. Suddenly, it was a little amazing that he'd had his hands in it just a few days ago. For many, many reasons, he wanted to do it again. He is an incredible man, Toshinori managed weakly, perhaps realizing just how much he was forced to put into such paltry words.
You don't have to explain it to me, Toshinori-san,
Naomasa said with a low laugh. Toshinori fairly deflated in relief, more so when Naomasa closed the laptop.
More friends are always good. Maybe we shouldn't have gone digging in old files, but this mysterious coworker of yours definitely deserves a break. I'm willing to part with food as long as you're not looking to replace me.
It was amazing. Naomasa had a way of making everything feel better, if a little simplified. He had a talent for smiling at just the right time and helping the people around him feel safe and cared for, no matter what was going on around him. Cherished. Human. Enough. It was a skill that Toshinori appreciated deeply, and might have never seen had he not been in a weakened state that required that kind of existential comfort. It was a bittersweet appreciation and yet another dimension to being like this that opened his eyes to the value of friends. It was good. Hard, but good. I would never replace you, Toshinori said solemnly, then smiled. After all, where in the world would I find another detective with readable handwriting? You're like a gem among rocks.
Too true, Naomasa laughed,
and they talked into the night about anything but saving the world. Their time together ended around midnight on the civil servant's battered couch, with Naomasa being a little too ready to relax and the beer going straight to his head. It was pleasant and familiar and strangely healing. Their conversation started and stopped and started again, with easy little vignettes in between sips of beer and water. Less an exchange of information than a chance to rest in safe company. Then Naomasa said it.
You know you deserve a break too, right?
Hmm? Toshinori responded with a soft, wistful smile. More a sleepy twitch of his lips than anything else. Then he felt a hand on his back, insanely warm, and was subsumed in a rush of memories. All sorts of memories, but all about Naomasa. Echoes of the sense, vague yet all too ardent, that he would have done anything for the man sitting next to him. Sick with feeling for his smile and approval and touch, while feeling like he had absolutely nothing to give. The core of affection was still there, golden, but it all stung less now. Less emptiness for it to bang around in, maybe. He was somehow more now, despite being half his size. It was good. Hard, but good.
I mean, we're gonna get him. We will.
Naomasa slurred, gesturing with his bottle.
But in the meantime...
Naomasa laughed haltingly to himself, and when Toshinori meekly glanced over, the other man's expression was downright incredulous.
I know it's not a matter of karma or anything. I'm too old for that. Too old and too tired. But if you don't deserve happiness, man, what the hell kind of chance do the rest of us poor saps have?
Naomasa-kun, Toshinori said hesitantly, his hands knitted in his lap.
I hope you can find someone that makes you happy, Toshinori-kun.
His friend said warmly, eyes closing.
That would make me happy, too. Even if it meant less curry.
Naomasa was asleep the next second, snoring softly. His snoring had gotten worse over the years, Toshinori noted absently. But it had been a constant soundtrack to their investigative days. Falling asleep over paperwork, over files, drifting in and out when the bitter tang of coffee wasn't enough. Always waking late, just because the work could never be done quickly enough. After a little
digging, Toshinori found the blanket where it always was, folded behind the lamp in the corner, and draped it over his best friend with an uncertain smile. He took the beer from Naomasa's slack hand and emptied it into the sink. Then he carefully wrapped the container of curry in a handkerchief after stopping, considering, and pouring half of it back into Naomasa's pot before putting the pot into the fridge for overnight. He would take Aizawa out to lunch instead. It was a brave thought, and Toshinori liked the way it felt, telling himself it wasn't just because Naomasa was probably, definitely exaggerating the quality of his cooking. Shrugging into his coat, the veteran hero stopped at the apartment door and turned out the light, saying softly into the dark, "Good night, my friend, and thank you." His chances to clean up after Naomasa were few and far between, and it was about time he could return the favor.